From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Boy, oh boy. I got to tell you, folks, I got to be 100% honest with you, and I'm pretty sure many of you out there probably feel the same way. I'm a little bit worried now. Yes, I'm a little bit worried. Michigan State, they laid an egg in that second half yesterday against Michigan, and it was not a pretty game, folks. It was not a pretty game. Michigan State, don't get me wrong, they played great in that first half, but then the wheels fell completely off. And when you look at this game, guys, you know, looking at that game, I thought in the first half, Michigan State played relatively well throughout most of that half. Throughout most of the half, up until about maybe the last 2 to 3 minutes of that first half is when you start to see some shades, I guess, of really concern. And Michigan State, they closed out that first half shooting 48%. Pretty good in the first half, 48%, can't complain with that. And if you look at it just by the numbers, in the second half, they improved on their shooting, 51% actually in the second half. Odd numbers, and this is a perfect example of numbers really don't tell the whole story, if you will. Because that second half, guys, if you saw what I was seeing, Michigan State just completely just were totally lazy defensively. Totally lazy, couldn't guard anybody, and Michigan took advantage of it. Hats off to Michigan, though. I don't want to, you know, as far as my thoughts on this game, yes, Michigan State, they got out of a groove that they, you know, that they had going at the beginning of the game, and Michigan made adjustments, the necessary adjustments, to put themselves in position to come back and take the lead. I want to give hats off to Michigan and Nick Stauskas, Glenn Robinson III, Caris LeVert, who I think has been the most consistent player on the Michigan roster all season. Those guys stepped up when they needed to. Now, throughout this entire hour, we are opening up our phone lines to you all who watched that game yesterday. And if you want to call in and give your thoughts on the game, you know the number, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. In just a moment, you're going to hear from Coach Tom Izzo and get his thoughts on what exactly happened to the Spartans in that loss to Michigan. And also, you will hear from Keith Appling, Denzel Valentine, and also John Beilein on the status of his Michigan program and what this loss means to him and his Wolverines. So Current Sports was definitely out there covering that game yesterday. And, boy, I tell you what, I walked in that locker room, that Michigan State locker room after that game, and it's like I walked into a funeral, folks. It was a somber mood, very, very somber mood of disappointment and regret. So again, if you want to call in, we're going to be dissecting this game. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on what you saw, 517-355-9527. Well, we have a full plate on today's Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Let's get right to it. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this February 24th, 2014. Well, again, Nick Stauskas' 21 second-half points helped propel Michigan to a 79-70 win over Michigan State in Ann Arbor Sunday afternoon. Now, the Wolverines were efficient offensively, scoring 45 points in the second half and posting a tidy 5-1 assist-to-turnover ratio. Folks, they only had 3 turnovers the entire game. Unbelievable stuff. Now, Caris LeVert added 23. Glenn Robinson III chipped in 15 for the Wolverines. The Spartans were led by Gary Harris's 21 points, but he couldn't get important defensive stops. Him and his team couldn't get important defensive stops down the stretch in the second half. So there you have that. We will be diving into that game in just a second. The Michigan State women's basketball team, they look to extend a modest 2-game winning streak tonight against Minnesota. The Spartans are 1.5 games in back of Penn State with 3 games remaining in the Big Ten regular season and will look to close the year strong with 3 games this week. Now, the Gophers are a game under 500 in conference play and are looking to improve their tournament resume. The team's first meeting resulted in a 25-point MSU win on January 4th. Tip-off for tonight is set for 7 p.m. The MSU men's hockey team, they came up short in 2 games against the Wisconsin Badgers this weekend, losing 5-2 on Friday night and 2-0 on Saturday. Wisconsin power plays, their power plays provided the difference in both contests, with the Badgers scoring 2 goals in each game with the extra attacker. Now, MSU led 1-0 in Friday's contest before surrendering 3 straight goals and outshot the Badgers 31-30 in Saturday's loss. Tom Anastas and company will be back in Big Ten action on March 7th and 8th for a home-and-home series versus Michigan. Also, I want to give you guys, of course, the NFL Combine is in full effect now. I want to give you guys an update on the Spartans competing. Wide receiver Benny Fowler was the first Spartan to test the on-the-field workouts at the NFL Scouting Combine on Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium. Fowler was a top performer in several categories, including the broad jump, where his leap of 10 feet and 6 inches tied for the 5th longest among wide receivers. He ranked 12th in the 60-yard shuffle with a time of 11.52 and 15th in the 20-yard shuffle with a time of 4.18. Now, the 6'1", 217-pounder Fowler recorded a time of a 4.52 in the 40-yard dash and 7.06 in the 3-cone drill. His vertical jump was 36 inches. Now, linebacker Max Bulla, who is scheduled for on-field workouts today, had a strong start to his combine on Sunday by tying for first among the linebackers in the bench press with 30 reps of 225 pounds. Now, that sounds kind of like my bench press numbers. I'm joking. I wish. All right. Jayru Campbell, the Detroit Cass Tech football star, accused of slamming a school security guard officer. He appeared in a Detroit courtroom this morning and waived his preliminary examination. Now, Jayru Campbell was bound over to Wayne County Circuit Court to stand trial on charges of assault with intent to do great bodily harm, a felony, and aggravated assault, a misdemeanor. Now, during the brief hearing, which lasted 4 minutes, Campbell said little, stating his name for the record and answering yes when 36th District Court Judge Alicia Jones Coleman asked him several questions about waiving and hearing. Now, Campbell, he appeared in a shirt and tie and slacks, which the judge definitely appreciated. Campbell's mother was also there along with his 13-year-old brother and several friends. Now, an arraignment was scheduled in Wayne County Circuit Court on March 10th at 9 a.m. On conviction, the felony charge is punishable by up to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $5,000, and the misdemeanor count is punishable by up to 1 year behind bars and a fine of $1,000. I don't think he's getting jail time, but those are the hard counts as of right now. I really hope there isn't a current sports curse here, folks. Now, you guys know Derek Phillips, head wrestling coach for the St. John's Red Wings. Well, of course, we previewed their state championship run, which kicked off this past weekend. And, folks, the run of St. John's Division II State Wrestling Championships has finally ended. And in heartbreaking fashion, folks, it took 5 desperate tiebreakers after a tie team duel. But top-seeded Lau was ultimately determined the champion on Saturday at Kellogg Arena, leaving the Red Wings just short in their quest for their 5th consecutive state crown. Man, Derek went on to say afterwards, sad for the guys, hats off to Lyle. They wrestled a great match. It hurts when you lose, but at the end of the day, we still took 2nd in the state. And you know what, folks, on Friday, the big showdown in high school boys basketball that took place was the Holt Rams taking on the Grand Ledge Comets in the CAAC Blue title. Now, the Holt Rams did win. Matt Essel and his squad, they got the win, and Holt won the CAAC Blue title on the eve of district play. And I text Matt Essel to congratulate him, and he said, thanks, Al. And I was like, yeah, Matt, we got to get you on the show to talk about the win. And he went on to say, Al, I don't know, man. Last time I was on Current Sports, the next day we lost. And now we have Derek Phillips, head coach of St. John's Wrestling, the first week we have him on, they snapped their winning streak of going for their fifth consecutive state crown. So I really hope, knock on wood, there is not a current sports curse, please. We don't need that. All right. Girls districts, they start tonight in girls basketball, high school basketball. In Class A, just to list some of the games, at Hazlitt, you have Lansing Waverly versus Lansing Eastern, Okemos versus Lansing Everett, and Hazlitt versus East Lansing, all those games at 7 p.m. In Class B, at Jackson Lumen Christi, you have Jackson Lumen Christian versus Napoleon at 6 p.m. And Class C at Carson City Crystal, Langsburg versus Bath, that's at 5:30 p.m., and Saranac versus Carson City Crystal at 7:30 p.m. Also, some history was made, folks. Mid-star SEC lineman Michael Sam coming out as being gay. Big man Jason Collins, who was also came out as gay last fall in the NBA, NBA player Jason Collins, signed a 10-day contract with the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday. He then played a game in a Nets uniform against the Los Angeles Lakers, tallying 2 rebounds and 0 points in 12 minutes of game action. He is now the first openly gay player in American professional sports. Gotta love that. Congrats to Jason Collins in that regard. And also in the Daytona 500, one of the longest rain delays ever at the Daytona 500, compiling a total of 6 hours and 22 minutes. Dale Earnhardt Jr. came out on top with a first-place finish. Earnhardt Jr. won only 2 races since 2006, both of which were in the state of Michigan. It is also his second win at Daytona, his first win being a decade ago. Congrats to Dale Earnhardt Jr. Gotta love that. Daytona 500 winner. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527 and share what's on your mind. Also, again, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKR. I believe we have a caller right now, Alex from North Carolina. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, Alan, how you doing today, man? Great.
Very, very well.
Always.
My brother, we haven't heard from you in a while, man.
Oh, I know it. I know it, man. You got to give me a call sometime. But listen, I just wanted to talk about that Michigan State-Michigan game yesterday. Listen, man, I once had a coach tell me not to listen to coaches who say it's going to come down to the team who wants it more. She told me that is nonsense. Every team wants it. Nobody wants it more. Well, yesterday, I always thought about that statement after she told me that. And yesterday, I just found out that statement is not true. Somebody can want it more. It was prevalent in that second half. It just was clear that Michigan wanted that game more. I mean, Michigan State did not come out with the same heart, the energy that Michigan had. I mean, was that just me? But it looked like Michigan had so much more energy in that second half. I mean, taking it to the rim at will. I don't know. And I want to ask you, I don't hear anything about Dawson. Do you know any news about when he's going to come back or anything, any word on Dawson? And how much of an impact do you think that'll make when he does come back?
Hey, thanks a lot, Alex, for your call. Appreciate it, man. But yes, first of all, to address, the really just comparison from Michigan State in the first half to how they looked in the second half. Again, that's a very good point, Alex. Michigan just looked like they wanted it more. Period. I mean, Michigan State, they did seem fatigued, but that only goes so far. It just seemed like the effort for Michigan State just wasn't there in that second half. It just was not there at all. That defense that you saw was, to be honest, I thought that Michigan State played very, very good defense at the beginning to at least the middle to late of that first half. And defensively is something that, you know, Tom Izzo prides himself on. He prides his teams on their defense, that blue-collar type of defense. And Michigan State just seemed to really elude them in that second half. And they got lazy, if you ask me. It was kind of just a ho-hum type of effort, guys just going through the motions. And to be honest, looking at that, when it comes down to that E word, you talk about effort, for me, that had to be what was lacking. It had to be Michigan State's worst loss of the season in my eyes. But I definitely agree with that. As far as an update on Brandon Dawson, he had the pins removed from that injured hand last week. and he may, it's not 100%. We still had to talk to Izzo this week to get an update on it, but he may return versus Illinois. So it was speculation that he could return during this Michigan game that happened this past weekend, but he did not. But he possibly could return against this week on Saturday against Illinois. So also we have an alert for all of you out there. This is for anyone who is on the campus of Michigan State University. This is very, very serious stuff, ladies and gentlemen. A man with a gun has been seen on campus. Michigan State University has reported that a man with a gun has been seen entering Bessie Hall. The university has issued a secure in-place alert. Again, I just want to say that again. An alert is on campus right now. A man has been seen with a gun on campus. Michigan State University has reported that a man with a gun has been seen entering Bessie Hall. The university is issuing a secure in-place alert. Okay, that's for anyone who is on campus right now. That is very, very serious stuff, folks. Aaron, are we good to move on? Let's go to some of the Michigan State bites now from that game, that U of M and Michigan State game. Again, Michigan State, they fall to Michigan now. A series sweep for the Michigan Wolverines. And again, we are taking your calls throughout this entire hour, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Of course, Current Sports was there. We were in Ann Arbor with coverage of that game, and we talked to Tom Izzo. Of course, he addressed the media after that one. Here is Izzo and his thoughts on after that this heartbreaking loss for his team.
I thought we had complete control of the first half of the game, and when Appling went out with his second foul, we started putting lineups in there that we couldn't cover them. We really struggled with some of our guys. LeVert went off in that stretch, got to the basket, got some three-point plays. We were trying to play Trice and Appling together, and when Appling got that, that changed the momentum. I thought they hit a big shot before the three. Where the first game, I was very proud of our effort. This game, we looked tired. I was not very proud of our effort. I did not think, I think I did a poor job playing Payne too many minutes in a row, and he was just dead tired. And, you know, that's when a couple of turnovers happened. At one point, I don't know what it ended up. We were 14-0 on points off turnovers, and I thought that was the difference in the game. You know, they got turnovers and got touchdowns and layups, and we didn't. But it's been a strange year. It doesn't get any stranger than to go to your rival and shoot 54%, 40 from the three and lose. And that's because I think we've become too much of an offensive team and not as good a defensive team. And eventually that gets you. We look like a tired team, and I don't know why, because that shouldn't happen. But with those two guys, Appling and Payne, I sort of understand it. With the other guys, I really don't. So this was a game we did not play with the energy you needed to play. Honest to God, Adrian was walking up and down the floor. You know, the poor kid was – I thought that was part of it. I think Keith's not used to taking over the team like he did, you know, a month ago. And I thought that was part of it. And I don't know what the other parts were. I'm going to have to watch the film and figure it out. But that's not something we've shown very often this year, even without certain guys. As I told you, you know, it's going to be hard getting guys back. You think is a plus, especially when they shoot well or do some things well. But they still got to fit in with everybody. And we did not look very much in sync. Especially, it's hurting us way more defensively. I mean, you can talk about what we ran. 54% is 54%. It's good enough to win. We didn't guard. You know, we ran for 300 yards, passed for 400 yards, and got beat. You know, you got to check somebody. That's the name of the game. It's how you win big games, how you win games on the road. We weren't as pretty maybe when we had those guys out, but we were checking better. So we got to get back to guarding people, and if we do that, we'll be fine. Well, I told him I was very disappointed, you know, just like I told him I was very proud of him in East Lansing. I told him I was very disappointed. I did not think, you know, and trying to keep in track of, you know, it has not been an easy week for us either with travel and everything. I'm trying to keep in track that. I know for a fact that Payne and Appling have not practiced at the same level. We have not been able to practice. I mean, we got home at 4, so you don't practice the same the next day. And so consequently, you're not getting better within practice, or you're not getting in better shape. And, you know, maybe this will be a good week for us. We got a week off until Saturday anyway, and we're going to have to give them a day, and then we're going to have to get back at it. And that's the way we're going to have to do it. You know, I thought we played exceptionally well 90% of that first half. And it's only a half, but I mean, I thought we did all the things you needed to do. We defended very well. We rebounded pretty well. We ran pretty well. And I thought we moved the ball pretty well. And so I'm going to have to, you know, take a look at how much of us, we just kind of had nothing left and how much of it was our fault. And you got to give credit to them. They played good. They made some shots. Stauskas hit a couple of tough shots over people. Give him credit on that. It's effort related, but it's also chemistry related. Ball screens, you know, we have that last one when they throw it underneath. You know, one guy doesn't call switch and he switches out. And, you know, I mean, that's part of playing together too. And I think that's the hardest thing that I've said all along. Getting them back will be one bright spot. And then getting them back and playing like the team they need to play like is going to be another. And, you know, it didn't mean to laugh at your question, but is Appling's hand okay now? You know, Appling's hand isn't going to be okay till the end of the year, so everybody knows. I mean, that's just the way it is. When you're still hurt this late in the season, I mean, it's not going to be back to normal. There's no normality is not going to hit our team. I still think we have enough to do it without being normal. I really do. I think we have enough different pieces where we can still make a serious run at this league championship and beyond. But there's going to be some bumps in the road here if guys don't figure out that, you know, it's not the same as it was. And that is frustrating to them. Keith had a very average practice 2 days ago because he wasn't making a shot and it really got to him. And you know what? I love his competitiveness on that. I understand it, but it's just the way it's going to be, and he's going to have to live with that and understand it. And I think this week he'll get better, and he'll keep working on his shot. He'll get better. But that's the way it is right now.
Yes, that was head coach Tom Izzo after the loss to Michigan on Sunday afternoon. Want to remind just a minute ago we notified you all that a man with a gun was reported as being seen on campus entering Bessie Hall, and the university issued a secure in place alert. Want to update you all that it was a training weapon, folks. It's found to be a training weapon. There is no threat at all. So we can all go back to being happy and lollipops and giggles. So there you have that. It was just a training weapon. No threat at all, folks. So be safe out there, man. I mean, that's just a perfect example that, you know, we live in a crazy world. Living in a crazy world. Be safe out there, folks. Okay. All right, back to MSU and Michigan, guys. As far as Appling goes, Keith Appling, point guard for Michigan State. Of course, he did not look like himself at all in yesterday's game. And as you just heard, Tom Izzo talked about Appling, and he won't be healthy until the end of the year, if that. Talked to Appling afterwards, and he addressed his health. And Appling, what percentage would you say of health that you are right now?
I don't know. I wouldn't even be able to give you a specific number. But I do feel like I'm getting better and better each day. You know, so that's a plus. And, you know, when I do finally get to 100%, hopefully it's at the right time.
Keith, apologize if you've been asked this already, but I mean, this has to sting more knowing that you guys won't get another shot at Michigan throughout the rest of this regular season now. I mean, this has to sting more knowing that, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we all knew going into tonight that this is our last opportunity, especially for me and Adrian to get a win against Michigan. So, I mean, for us to come out with an L, it hurts really bad. But at the same time, it's still some season left, you know, and we still have other things to play for. So we just got to kind of find a way to put it behind us and continue to play basketball.
What happened in that second half for you guys? It seemed to be just a totally different team in that second half for you guys.
We just couldn't get any stops on the defensive end. You know, those guys, they made some tough shots, big-time plays, and they just had it going, and it was tough for us to stop them.
You know, we were just trying to figure out, you know, things to do and you know, what defensive things, you know, we can do and offensive things we can do. But, you know, we didn't make the shots we wanted, you know.
So this has to sting more knowing that you guys won't get another shot against this team, against your rival Michigan throughout the regular season. I mean, just talk about how that has to really, really sting and, you know, any regrets.
You know, that stings. You know, you don't want to lose, you know, to your rival. But, You know, there's nothing you can do now, but just, you know, it's not like it's the end of the world or anything like that. You know, we can still win the Big Ten, you know, tournament championship or something like that. So, you know, you can't just mope around it. We still got, you know, a lot of season left. So, just back to work tomorrow.
So there you have that. That was guard Keith Appling and Denzel Valentine right after the loss in the locker room. It was like I walked into a funeral, guys, as you can imagine. That locker room is in a pretty somber mood. Also, John Beilein, I mean, this is a pretty big accomplishment for him and this program. John Beilein, who a coach who I think is one of the nicest coaches I've ever come across. And, you know, to get two wins, to sweep your rival Michigan State, a program that is nationally recognized as one of the best in the nation, it's got to be big for this program. I asked John just exactly how big is this accomplishment for him and the Wolverines.
John, just kind of a big picture question. I mean, to sweep the season series against Michigan State, I mean, what does this say about the status of this program and about the resiliency of your kids?
Well, I think what I said at the beginning, because of who they are and how solid they are, and you know, national championships and Final Four appearances like crazy over the last two decades. I mean, it says that we're you know, back. Michigan's back in so many ways, just being competitive at every level. And that's, if you compete with Michigan State, then you're competing with all the other, you know, top schools. And we hadn't been there for a while, and it's just good to be in that position. And so now consistency is the things that Wisconsin, right, and that Michigan State have, and Ohio State lately have been able to do. They haven't had fall-offs. This is the Michigan goal right now. We got to stay competing for Big Ten championships going forward. That's when, just like they have, their kids don't know what it's not like to go to the NCAA tournament. That's the mentality we want.
Michigan head coach John Beilein there. All right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, again, we're taking your calls throughout this entire hour on the Michigan and Michigan State game yesterday. If you saw it, give us your thoughts. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We're going to dissect this game as Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke are going to join me. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a second. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke now join me as we try to dissect this game. Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan State falls to Michigan yesterday, 79-70. Michigan now has sweeped the season series and is taking the lead in the Big Ten, folks. All right, guys, let's dissect this game. Again, you know, just kind of reiterating what I said at the top of the hour, guys. I thought that Michigan State played very well the majority of that first half. They played well defensively. It seemed as though they were getting everybody involved. They looked very fluid. But in that second half, I don't know what I tell you what, something did happen. I saw something in that first half, I think specifically the end of that first half, that really alarmed me. And it has alarmed me throughout a lot of this season when it comes to Michigan State. And Michigan did a great job of capitalizing on this. If you remember, now Michigan played man-to-man, guys, throughout about most of that first half. Beilein made a change late in the second with about 2 minutes left after the timeout, and they came out and they played zone. They were I think they ran about like a 2-3 zone or a 3-2, one of the two. I believe it was a 2-3 zone. And it did something MSU, and this is what it did. It slowed up the game. I remember talking to Alec at halftime about this. It slowed up the game for Michigan. And it allowed, because Michigan State, I mean, again, they pride themselves on transition buckets. And Michigan State were really trying to run a lot. And once Michigan collapsed in that zone, Michigan State was forced to take jump shots. And those jump shots were not falling. It allowed Michigan to grab the ball, go down the court, set up their offense, and really take their time and dissect the game. It slowed down Michigan State's pace in that game, which played to Michigan's advantage. And that, for me, was the key moment for me that I saw things start to turn a little bit. If there was any light in the tunnel for Michigan, I saw that moment. And that moment when Michigan ran and got it, sat in the zone and slowed Michigan State down, it started to turn a different way, guys. Now, again, that second half, though, Michigan State just seemed – I go back to that E-word when Alex talked about when he just called in. They gave up defensively. I mean, there were so many times that we saw Michigan State just get beat on backdoor cuts for alley-oops left and right. I mean, guys going up in the paint, getting layups, and it just really seemed like down the stretch that Michigan wanted it more. Those 50-50 balls, the rebounds, and there were multiple times down the court where, guys, Michigan State just looked lost, just looked totally, didn't know what they wanted to run offensively, looking at each other, I mean, pointing in other directions. It was really confusing. They looked totally confused out there. Appling's not 100%. We all know that. And to me, if anything, it really shocked me, guys, with Tom Izzo. I thought he would have yanked Appling earlier in that game and maybe put in Ellis, because Appling just did – he doesn't look like himself, guys.
He's starting.
Yeah, exactly.
He was starting.
And throughout that entire game, he just did not look like himself whatsoever. Not 100% healthy at all. I mean, and as far as offensive production, Appling's giving you nothing now. I mean, he can't shoot the ball. He's barely driving the ball. It's like when you're on the offensive end, it's like Michigan State is going 4-on-5 against whoever they play when they have Appling with the ball. I mean, he's just a facilitator out there right now. That's all he's doing. And we saw when MSU we're having really a lot of success from the beginning to the middle of this year when Appling was healthy. I mean, Appling was great. He was giving you big points, big buckets. Now that's gone, and now you're really and I'm really harping on this too. They tried to force feed Gary Harris and Adrian Payne way too much in that game. When things went haywire offensively for Michigan State yesterday, they said, all right, well, let's go to our go-to guys. Let's go to Gary Harris. Gary Harris shot terribly. Granted, he led the team in scoring, but it took a lot of shots to get him in the 20-point range. For Adrian Payne down low, guys collapsed on Adrian Payne and forced other people to beat you. Now, granted, Michigan State had a few daylights throughout that game with Denzel Valentine seeing to be hitting the shot early. When they did collapse on Adrian Payne, Travis Trice had a three. But, guys, it was not consistent throughout the game, and Michigan certainly capitalized on it. Hats off to Nick Stauskas, Caris LeVert, Glenn Robinson III. Those guys got hot, and I mean hot. Nick Stauskas. That man is the truth right now. I mean, that guy, he can get hot at any moment. He came out with a renewed mindset, guys. 21 points alone in the second half. You got to give credit where credit is due, and you definitely got to give Michigan a lot of credit for pulling out that one.
Yeah, all right. A lot of points here to hit on. Boy, oh boy. First of all, on a more comical note, the real turning point was when Russell Bird came in the game, because Michigan State was up 22-11. When Bird came in, that's when the lead started to get closer and closer and closer. Lead came within 5. LeVert hit a big 3 at the 7:36 mark. And then from there, that's on a more comical note. Not to say that Bird is a curse or anything like that, but when Russell Bird came in the game, they had an 11-point lead, and Matt gave me a little point there. So,
I think I'm giving you more than that, because it happened at the end of the half, too. He was part of that collapse late in the half, and I think, for me, that's where the game was lost. The last few minutes of the first half, MSU had a chance to open up a nice lead going into halftime, and instead they played zero defense and got beat by LeVert twice for and ones, and then the three in the corner to end the half. I mean, it was Bird. And if you have a guy who, you know, teams just look at and their eyes light up. I mean, you could see guys on the perimeter for Michigan get matched up with Bird, and they were going to drive to the hole every time. Like, didn't matter if people were doubling down on him. They were going to try and beat Bird off the dribble, and they did. Mm-hmm. Back-to-back possessions, and then nobody gets back to defend the three at the buzzer. And you could just tell. Michigan State had outplayed Michigan in the first half to that point. To have a 2-point lead at the half, for me, the writing was on the wall for the second half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Back to the Appling thing, Al. I'm going to argue with you. I wouldn't call it 4-on-5. I would just say that they didn't have 10 to 15 points that they usually could get. From Appling. As much as Appling, he's kind of playing. It's kind of a gimme. You have a player limping playing in the game. As much as he's still a facilitator, I mean, last game he tallied up 9 assists. I mean, he's still making good passes. He's not turning the ball over 5 times a game. He's still a legitimate playmaker. So I wouldn't necessarily call it 4-on-5.
Looking at yesterday's game and looking at how Keith Appling played, you're calling Keith Appling a playmaker, legitimate playmaker.
He still is a playmaker. It's just not 4-on-5.
Totally disagree with you. It's on the offensive end, Keith Appling is giving you nothing.
On the shooting and scoring.
Six
end. Yes, you're right.
Points.
Right. On the shooting. Six. That's shooting and scoring.
When guys shut down and started containing Adrian Payne, and when Gary Harris continues this incredible slump that he's on, you need some offensive production from somebody else. When those guys would have subpar games, who was scoring for you at the beginning of the season?
Appling.
Keith Appling.
Right.
He was the guy. Not only was he scoring, but he was still being that facilitator. When you have your quarterback, when you have Keith Appling, the quarterback of the team, the point guard, not playing consistently and scoring consistently when you need him to, when other guys are getting, when your superstars, when your scoring juggernauts aren't putting up consistent numbers, he's been that guy. And when he isn't, we've seen this team fall apart.
And I agree with you. But the point is it's not 4-on-5. It's not like you've got Michael Jordan versus Ronnie Stuckey.
When it comes, okay, you kill me with these crazy comparisons that you have. When you talk about Keith Appling and you talk about scoring and Michigan State scoring offensively, you're playing 4-on-5 because you know what points Keith Appling throws up? Donuts. Zero. Alex, the man had 6 points last night.
I know.
Six points.
But you can't call it 4-on-5. Matt.
It's 4-on-5 offensively when Keith Appling is out there.
The big thing for me is that Appling was able to get Michigan State easy buckets early in the year. And whether that was him driving
right.
or him dishing.
And that's
and
gone
there was,
now.
There, oh, definitely. There was a play yesterday, and we've seen it 1,000 times throughout his career, where even off of a made basket, he will drive. He will use the big men kind of clogging the lane as a screen, go around everyone and get a layup.
Yeah.
And he had it. He had it, and he couldn't finish. He had to dish it out. That, to me, I mean, the guy's just not healthy. Do you guys think they shut him down for the rest of the regular season? I don't think he should see the floor for the rest of the regular season.
I said the exact same thing. I said Keith Appling should not see the court until he is 100% ready.
He might have been a bigger liability on defense.
Right.
I mean, Stauskas went off in the second half when Appling was matched up with him. He picked up 2 ticky-tack fouls in the first half.
Exactly.
He wasn't in it mentally, and I don't know if that's just because he's not healthy or because he's working his way back into the rotation. He didn't seem into the game. The only guy who really did was Valentine.
Played great. Valentine was great.
He should have brought the ball up the court the entire game.
Yeah. Because
he was the only guy facilitating,
right.
looking for a shot. He played great. Nobody else played with him.
But going back to Keith Appling, I mean, when you're talking about shutting him down for the rest of the season, I would. I say, hey, if he's not 100%, you see, because right now he's becoming a hindrance for this team right now. He is not helping this team in any regard, whether it be defensively or offensively. And anytime a guy is not helping you, you got to put him on the bench. Why is he out there in the first place? You know what I mean? So I would definitely be comfortable with Keith Appling sitting out the entire rest of the season. I think their Big Ten championship hopes are poof, just went out the window because you can't lose back-to-back against the team who's now leading the Big Ten and expect to at least clinch a share of that Big Ten title. I think that's totally done. And I would start looking for Keith Appling to possibly get 100% healthy and possibly have him ready for the Big Ten tournament. But, hey. Again, though, I want to give credit where credit is due. And this is the thing that amazed me when I looked at the stat sheet after this game. 3 turnovers throughout the entire game for Michigan. Even when, if you remember, Michigan State had that a double-digit lead in the first half, they were still not turning the ball over and getting shots at the rim. Against the Michigan State squad and against that Michigan State defense that played outstanding in the first half, that's pretty remarkable. To only have 3 turnovers against a team who prides themselves on defense, and that really aids in, you know, and when you look at it again, Michigan State, they just look like a shell of themselves in that second half. And you said where did the defense go? You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing. If anything, I could rely on for Michigan State. When you're talking about a Michigan State basketball team, you would say, okay, they may not be scoring, but you better be sure that they are going to be guarding people, and that was absent for me.
Yeah, in the first half, they made Michigan work. And they were able to force them into tough-looking jump shots, you know, and they weren't hitting all of them. I mean, the only guy who really had it going in the first half for Michigan was LeVert.
It was LeVert, yeah.
LeVert. He was the MVP of that game in my eyes more than Stauskas. I mean, Stauskas got going, but by then the team was already going. Everybody was already going, but LeVert was the only guy keeping them in it early.
Yeah.
Because when Michigan gets good looks early in the shot clock, they're tough to beat because they get confident, they hit a couple of jump shots, and then things get rolling. But if you make them work and make them take all 35 of the shot clock, I mean, the shot clock violation was one of their only turnovers.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was the best defensive possession they played all day by far. that just disappeared in the second half.
It was gone.
Michigan got confident. They started hitting jump shots. Things got out of control. And to me, it seemed like Michigan State panicked.
Offensively and defensively. Yeah, I use that word too. Yeah, panic.
They were down like 10 with 4 minutes left, and the game was over.
Right.
I mean, it shouldn't be that way. But every time down the floor, it seemed like they'd either be turning it over or Gary Harris would be taking a deep three.
He went 7 for 17 yesterday.
And
7 for 17.
4 of 13 from three-point line.
Ridiculous.
You have no business taking 13 three-pointers in a game.
It's ridiculous.
I don't care who you are.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
At the same time, guys,
it's ridiculous.
If you he's a great shooter. Can we agree on that?
Stop
Gary
it.
Harris is a great shooter.
He's been in a slump.
He's a great shooter, but he got caught up trying to go shot for shot with Stauskas.
Right. There has to be a moment. When you're not hitting – see, again, he went 7 for 17. By that fourth or fifth shot, if it's not going in, you got to try something else, okay?
But
that's just common basketball.
But at the same time, what else was there to try? No one else was shooting the ball besides Valentine. You said it yourself. There weren't any open opportunities. I'd rather have someone.
This is what you do.
I would rather. Hold on. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
I'd rather have someone shoot who's a good shooter. Opposed to
You're
another
saying
guy.
The wrong word, Alex.
No.
This is the golden rule of basketball. I'm gonna show you right. This is the golden rule of basketball. If your shot is not falling, you know what you do? You drive to the hole.
Go to the hole. Please.
You get fouled. You go shoot some free throws, okay? That's the golden rule of basketball.
Open shots.
No, they were not. I seen Gary Harris sometime, a hand right in his face.
Sometimes.
And that's why, if you look on that last one, if you guys remember the moment, it's funny because when I was filming that game, covering that game, I've never been this close to Michigan State's bench. I'm sitting right there. You can hear everything that Izzo's saying. There was a moment, if you guys remember, in that second half where Gary Harris took an errant three. He says, okay, that's it. Gary Harris is coming out. Gary Harris goes to the bench. Him and Izzo get into it. Me and Audrey were talking about because everybody's looking at it. We're right there looking at it. Gary Harris starts arguing with Tom Izzo. It's funny because as soon as he yanked him, you could hear it. I can't repeat the words that were said. But Harris goes over to Izzo. Izzo looks at him and says, "What in the world were you thinking on that last play?" Gary Harris looks up in the sky, walks to the bench. Izzo folds his arms, keeps looking at the game. He turns and looks at, I forget who was sitting next to him. I think it was it Bird who was sitting next to him? I can't remember. Izzo comes back. I think it was a stoppage in play. He comes back to Harris and tries to talk it out and see what happened. Gary Harris starts talking back again. Izzo says, all right, I'm done arguing with you, and goes to watch more of the game. But it just shows you, Gary Harris was just throwing up crap. It got to it almost came to a street ball mentality with this team, almost. Just get it to somebody and see if they can create, like an NBA-type game. You know what I mean? And I haven't seen that much for MSU, and it just showed that, you know, going back to that word, that P word, panic. They were in panic mode and looking for anything to get the ball in the basket.
Yeah, it seemed like they were trying to make erase a 12-point lead in one possession.
Right.
And that's not how you do it. For my money, I would have gone to Adrian Payne every time down the floor. And I know he went 4 of 9, and he definitely struggled at the free throw line, but Horford and Morgan were both in foul trouble pretty early in the second half, and they did nothing to exploit that. They just continued to run, you know, plays for the three-pointers, or I guess they weren't really running plays for him, but they were shooting them, that's for sure. But and you know, Gary Harris, he hits a bank shot three.
Yeah, I know, right? Did he call that one?
If you hit a three off the glass, that should not be an indication that you're on.
Oh, yeah. Hot now. I just banked it.
You know, you've missed three. You hit one off the glass, and then you try and come down and hit another tough three-pointer. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like they were just forcing it. They weren't running their offense. They got caught up trying to play Michigan's game.
Right.
And it bit them.
This is the most disheartening thing for me. I mean, and when we talked about it, you know, the Nebraska game, I just don't get why, if Michigan State, when they're having shooting slumps and having shooting troubles, why you just don't do simple math and just take the ball to the lane, whether it be going into Adrian Payne. If they double him, kick it out. Maybe you get a wide-open shot. If they do recover and rotate well, go to the paint and try to get fouled and shoot some free throws. I just don't get it. I don't get why Michigan State just constantly tries to shoot itself out of slumps. And we saw what happened last night. We've seen it in other games the rest of this season, and it just puzzles me. I'm very worried. When I looked at this Michigan State team to start the season, I said they can go very, very deep in the tourney. Now with the injuries coupled with, I mean, they just seem like they weren't together cohesively as far as chemistry went. And Izzo talked about it. Izzo said in his presser, getting guys healthy is one thing, but once they are all healthy, evaluating how that chemistry is and how they play with one another once everybody is healthy is another hurdle you got to overcome. And this late in the season and having that issue and problem, I'm a little worried about this team, guys.
Yeah, a little worried. The clock is ticking.
It's definitely
absolutely
ticking.
And people will compare it and be like, well, you know, Michigan's missing McGarry. But it's a lot easier if you have a guy who is just out for the year. You know, right. You don't have to worry about him coming back. You don't have to worry about folding him back into the lineup.
Right.
Exactly. You know who you are and what you have. But when it's, you know, six different guys who miss 5 games here and 4 games here and 7 games here, it's a lot tougher to get everybody back on the same page. I totally agree. And going forward, they're going to need Dawson to come back and play like he's out of his mind.
They definitely need Dawson.
And they have to hope that the games he missed are the games that normally we've kind of seen him take off anyway.
Right,
you know, like
exactly.
He's already used up all of his, you know.
I know what you mean. Dawson's not a big offensive scorer,
no,
but he can come in and get you those garbage points.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's what they're missing. At the very least, toughness.
Yes.
Some toughness.
Yes, that's what they're missing.
They have no swagger. They have nothing. And
I agree.
It's tough to watch.
It is. It definitely is. All right, guys, let's hit the next break. When we come back, we'll do a little pick 'em, talk a little Olympics. And, again, we're taking your calls throughout this entire hour. If you saw Michigan State lose to Michigan yesterday, call in and give your thoughts. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we are taking your calls throughout this entire hour. We have about a little less than 15 minutes left in the show. If you saw yesterday's Michigan State and Michigan game and you want to give your thoughts, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. All right, really quickly, guys. Of course, a huge, huge story in sports, of course. The Olympics. The Olympics wrapped up. Man, I can't believe it's already over, guys. Those was it 18, 17 days just flew by. The closing ceremony was actually yesterday in Sochi. Really quickly, guys, just kind of reflect on, you know, the 2 weeks that was in this year's Olympics in Sochi. Just kind of our favorite memories from what we saw. I mean, because the Olympics only come around once every 4 years, and there were many, many storylines that were intriguing, to say the least, for me. I guess I can kick it off. Guys, for me, first off, I want to talk about the U.S. and Canada women's hockey game, gold medal game that occurred on Friday as the U.S. women's team. They lost in OT after having, guys, a 2-goal lead in the third period. It was an entertaining game. Other than this year's Olympics, I had never watched Olympic women's hockey ever watched it. It was pretty entertaining, though. Pretty entertaining stuff. And just to see them give up that 2-goal lead, though, in the third, that was a heartbreaker. I mean, tears were everywhere and flowing after that one. That was certainly a tough one as Canada won in overtime. The U.S. and Russia hockey game, the prelims, it wasn't for a medal or anything, but it's still a very entertaining game. The U.S. won that one. Drama-filled game, went to a shootout. T.J. Oshie, he scored 4 times in the shootout. That was pretty – I remember that one. Also, Lauren Williams, she came so close, guys. She's on the American bobsled team. Lauren also, she won a gold medal in the Summer Olympics, was trying to become the first woman to win in both the Summer and Winter Olympics, but they lost to Canada, her and her teammate, in the bobsled pairings. They lost to Canada, but I got to get this, 1/10 of a second. So many heartbreaking losses to Canada over the Olympics. So hats off to Lauren, though. That's still remarkable stuff as her and her teammate, they got silver. And also, Lauren was a teammate to Lolo Jones on the American bobsled team. And Lolo got criticized left and right. Her team, the Americans, finished 11th out of 19 overall teams. And Lolo got a lot of criticism from even some of her teammates on the team, saying she's just there for marketing purposes. She's a gimmick, whatnot. That certainly was a memorable moment there. The conditions of Sochi, guys. I could go on and on about this one. So many jokes were made on countless late night television shows about the conditions of Sochi, specifically concerning the journalist down there covering the event. Get this, only 6 of the 9 hotels were ready for the media. Running water was not drinkable. One journalist tweeted a picture of just completely brown urine color like water. Oh, it was sick stuff. One toilet, this is a pretty funny one too. Another journalist tweeted a picture of a toilet that had a bucket next to it with a sign saying, "Please do not flush down toilet paper." So after you get done doing your business, just throw it in a bucket and just keep it moving. Pretty nasty stuff, guys. And also, there were no heating or internet at some hotels. Oh, boy, that was, that's pretty bad. Also, Bob Costas, the pink eye, Bob Costas, it was started in one eye, then went to the other eye, and he had to take a leave of absence as the Today Show. It's, Matt Lauer, I believe, filled in for him. And Shaun White not getting the gold and pulling out of the slope style. How about that? I never thought it. I thought Shaun White was going to be a shoe-in for at least one gold medal throughout the Olympics, but he unfortunately came up short. And I was very surprised that he pulled out of the slope style. I was looking forward to seeing him compete in that, I believe, in this year. This is the first year of that competition. So those are some of my memories from the Olympics. Guys, what will you take away from Sochi?
Al, you hit on a lot of good stuff. For me, I guess you kind of touched on it with Shaun White and Shawnee Davis. I'm going to put in the same category. Guys who we were thinking going in were going to make history and try and win three straight golds in the same event, and they both failed. But as far as people actually making history, why don't we go with Norwegian biathlete Ole Einar Bjørndalen.
Wow, what a name.
Who captures his 13th career Olympic medal to become the all-time leader in the Winter Games history.
Wow.
And watching him in the biathlon.
I love that event.
He might be a robot. Yeah. I mean, he has he always has a 20-second lead on the nearest competitor, and then he goes to the shooting range and just is like dialed in. I mean, five shots, five hits every single time.
Wow.
It's incredible. He looks like Mark Wahlberg in Shooter. He does not miss.
I love that event too because this is the first year I actually watched the event. And that's a pretty, it's like your James Bond out there. You ski, you stop, you shoot five times, and you keep going. It's pretty cool stuff. I like it.
Hard to believe how they, you know, what the process was for coming up with that.
right. Oh. I like to look up the history of that.
Right. I love cross-country skiing, and I love shooting. Let's combine them. But it's impressive to watch a guy be that dominant at that sport.
I agree. Alex?
Yeah, for me, it was actually the same as Matt. Just not being able to come up when it mattered. Not coming up huge and clutch when it's down to the medal games, when it's down to the gold. USA just couldn't do it, especially when it came to Shawnee Davis. I mean, even when it came to you know, not just his individual events, but for team skating and a bunch of other things, he couldn't get it done. For me, the highlight was Viktor Ahn from Russia. I saw this one live. He is one heck of a skater, from speed skating to the 5,000-meter relay event. He led Team Russia, and he's a Russian with Asian descent. So pretty cool.
Wow.
I mean he's a 6-time Olympic champion now after winning again. So he's been phenomenal. Just watching it live was just something else. He came from fourth all the way to first in the individual event. He started out last and came up behind everyone and just won it in the last lap.
Wow.
So
wow.
If you don't know about Viktor Ahn, take a look at this guy. One to remember.
Gotta love that. That's pretty good stuff, guys. And I believe Russia came away with the most medals, I believe, as they finished with a total of 33 and also had the most gold medals with 13. So fun stuff there. It was a great closing ceremony with all the antics yesterday. So as we put the Sochi 2014 Winter Olympics to bed. All right, guys, about 5 minutes left. Of course, the NFL Combine, which I'm not a huge fan of, is in full stride. Guys, just really quickly, you know, when you look at some of the big names, when you're talking about Spartan lore, if you will, Benny Fowler, of course, he got to show his skill yesterday. Darquez Dennard, Max Bulla, he's going to be showing off his skills today. Guys, you know, looking at Benny, do you guys think he's going to be drafted? I don't think that Benny Fowler, to me, I don't think he's going to be drafted.
As much as he, you know, he plays pretty well. Fifth in the long distance? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I mean, he was decent. I'll look up his numbers right here. Let's see here. Benny, where are you at? I've got to scroll here. All right. Benny Fowler, he was a top performer in several categories, guys, including the broad jump, his leap of 10 feet 6 inches, that tied for fifth longest among the wide receivers. He ranked 12th in the 60-yard shuffle. He ranked 15th in the 20-yard shuffle. And in the 40, he ran a 4.52. So there you have that. Not numbers that really stand
out. Right, as a 6'1" receiver, it's not like he's got a lot of size. You're expected maybe to be a little bit more speedy, more in the 4.4-4.3 range, I'd argue, if he really trying to make a statement. But I feel like just the era of Mark D'Antonio in Michigan State football and just the notoriety that they've had in the last year is going to kind of propel him to be drafted.
You think so?
If Michigan State didn't go to the Rose Bowl or didn't have a great season, I think there'd be no shot of him being drafted. I do think there's an intangible of Michigan State's success helping his draft cause.
I could see that.
Do you agree?
I could see that to a degree, though, but I just think that Benny Fowler, when you look at his overall body of work, when you talk about his time here at Michigan State, it wasn't consistent.
No.
I mean, there were multiple times that, I mean, he had the problem. I mean, every wide receiver seemed to have a problem with catching the ball. I mean, multiple times looking at last year and the beginning of this year. And his overall body of work does not just – it doesn't pop out at you and says, oh, wow, I got to draft
it. But he did catch it when it counted.
Yeah, exactly, which happened, which he did in the Rose Bowl.
Biggest moments of the season he made, he made big catches.
Right.
And he seemed to be the go-to guy as far as if he'll get drafted. I think he's either, you know, very late or he goes unsigned. But I think someone will sign him.
Yeah, I think he will go unsigned.
I think he has a chance to be a special teams contributor somewhere. I don't know if he's, you know, going to start for any team. But for me, the most interesting guy going into the NFL, hopefully, is a guy who didn't get invited to the combine, and that's Danico Allen.
I do not know how they
left him off that list.
He's been getting disrespected for me this entire year. Remember when they didn't even list him on the Big Ten all-first team?
That's why I think he's going to maybe have, you know, other than Denard, I think he'll probably have the most success in the NFL. I think he's going to make it.
He'll make it.
I think, I mean, Malcolm Smith just won the Super Bowl MVP as an undersized linebacker, so it's not like there's not a spot for him. Some team will figure out a way to use him. I mean, you just have to watch like 2 minutes of film to know that that guy is a destructive force
on the number one defense. I mean, on the number one defense in the entire. Again, he did not make.
I always
go back. I don't know how he didn't make the All Big Ten first team. I still am going to protest to this day until probably I die that Danico Allen needs to be on that team. I think Darquez Denard is going to turn some heads. I think with him just being the top corner in the entire league alone, we'll get him in. I think he'll go first round, guys, and I expect him to have a pretty good outing at the combine. I'm really interested to see what his 40 time is. I know he's a fast guy. Max Bulla, I think you look at him, guys, and you know what? If you guys have not read Graham Couch's column in today's Lansing State Journal concerning Max Bulla, and he wrote an interesting column on how he believes that Bulla not coming out this past weekend or down in Indy, period, and coming out and saying what exactly happened that did not allow him to make that trip to the Rose Bowl is hurting him in many ways, not just his draft stock, but his lore as far as how Spartans look at him, his legacy here at Michigan State. It was a really interesting article. He went on to say, quote, I'm not discussing, because he was asked about it. He said, quote, I'm not discussing rumors. I'm not discussing anything. I'm here for the NFL Combine. I'm moving forward. I've discussed it with my teammates, my coaches. The NFL teams are aware of the matter, and I'm moving from that. I think my legacy is what it's always been. No one questioned my legacy leaving the Ohio State game, and I don't think it's any different. So that was directly from Max Bulla this past weekend at the NFL Combine. I think Max Bulla, in order to be drafted, again, I think his draft stock has dropped, but if he does come out and impress, because his talent is undeniable, let's just put that out there. If he does come out and turn some heads today at the Combine, I think he could go maybe 5th through 7th round, I think.
You think it's that low?
Yeah.
I might put him a little higher. I don't know.
I could see him going day 2 or day 3. Some team's going to fall in love with him. He's way too smart for
talented.
To fall way, way far down. I mean, he just knows the game. You can't deny that.
Yeah, he's talented. All right, guys. Well, that is all we have for today's show. Thanks to all of you out there who tuned into today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Alan Martin on WKRE's Lansing. And as always, take care, have a fantastic day. And as always, be easy, people.